Not only am I Foster the Bay, but you are Foster the Bay. Every single one of you, we are Foster the Bay. My name, as Angela said, is Lindsay, and I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. I started with Foster the Bay way back in 2018, and I remember when we only had about 40 partner churches, and I reached out to Pastor Daniel, and he sent me Eden's logo to put on our website, and I just am so grateful for you guys' years of faithful partnership with Foster the Bay. So it really is a privilege for me to be here. But before I jump in and share more of the message that God has placed on my heart, I thought it would only be fair to tell you just a little bit more about me, right? Like, it's nice if we're not strangers before I tell you what I think God is saying to you. So, I am a wife and a mom. I have one wonderful husband and three mostly wonderful children. I was Midwest born and East Coast raised or bred. And what I mean by that is that I was born and raised in Indiana, but I really found myself and who I was meant to be when I was living in Boston. I would go back to Boston in a heartbeat. My heart beats in Boston. I'm a lover of stories. It doesn't matter if I'm reading a book or watching a movie or having a conversation with friends. I can't get enough of stories. I'm a tea drinker and a carb eater. That's probably apparent. And thanks to a show on Netflix called Drive to Survive, I've found myself as a new F1 fan. I did not see that coming, but I'm hooked. Now, whether we have all of that in common or none of that in common, I know that we all have one common experience among us. And that's the fact that at some point, we made the transition from womb to world. We were taken out of a warm, familiar environment and placed into a cold and strange situation. And most of us had the exact same reaction. We wailed at the top of our lungs. You see, before we had the chance to feel any other need, we felt a need to be comforted. And before we had a chance to cry out for anything else, we cried out for someone to have compassion on us. And that's the point when most of us share another common experience. Because just moments after we let out our first cries, we were placed on our mother's chest and surrounded by her warmth, and close enough to hear her familiar heartbeat, we calmed down. And for the first time in our lives, we felt peace on earth. Isn't that kind of amazing? That we felt shalom, the promise of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. We felt our first glimpse of that within moments of our arrival here on earth. You see, that's one of the most incredible aspects of family, of parenthood. It's that chance to give children a glimpse of heaven, their first glimpses of heaven. Every time a mom places a Band-Aid on a scraped knee or a dad wipes away a tear, they promise their child that healing will come, that there will be a day when there are no tears. Every time they find something that was lost or fix something that was broken, they speak to the promise of heaven when everything will be made right. And when skinned knees and lost toys and fears of monsters under the bed are superseded by broken hearts and broken dreams and broken spirits, mom and dad are still there, ushering in the kingdom of heaven with comfort and compassion. In families, we see God's love in living color. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says it like this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." And can't we echo Paul's sentiment? Haven't we felt the goodness of God? Haven't we seen the goodness of God? We have felt peace that passes understanding. We've had hope when all hope seemed lost. We've even found joy in the midst of pretty great trials. Praise God who comforts us. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on in that same verse. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble." You see, as recipients of God's compassion and comfort, we hold a pretty great responsibility. We are responsible to have compassion on others, to share comfort with others. Paul says we've been comforted so that we can comfort others. It's important to understand this truth. We haven't been comforted so that we can feel and stay comfortable. We have been comforted so that we know how to comfort others. We see God's goodness in the family, the way a parent loves their child. But we also see our mission. Our mission is simple. It's to love God and love others. Jesus said it himself. Some Jewish religion expert challenged him with this question. This is in Matthew. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." That's major. All the law, all the prophets hang on these two things. Love God, love others. It really is that simple. But simple doesn't mean easy. You see, it's hard to love God with all my heart, mind, and soul if my heart and my mind and my soul are broken or weary or troubled. And so I want to stop for a moment today. And I want to say, if you're hurting, if you're weary, if you're troubled, if you have things weighing on your soul, then may I release you from any obligation you're starting to feel, or any obligation you may begin to feel as we move forward. You see, there's a specific order of things in our Christian journey. It goes like this. God gives, we receive, and then we give. Paul agrees. Look at the very end of the verse. He says, "We are comforted so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." God gives, we receive. We must experience God's goodness before we're able to share God's goodness. And so this morning, I really want you to know that the first and most important call that God is placing on your life is to come to him. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And so before we move much further, before I tell you all the things I think God is asking you to do, I want to take a few minutes and pause. I want to give you a chance to sit in God's goodness, to reflect on his goodness, to ask him for the comfort and the compassion that you may be needing. And so, we're just going to take a few moments here, and I'm just going to give you some time to sit in God's goodness. And I hope this won't be too awkward, but I'm going to sing over you a song that God sends out to all. Come out of hiding, you're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown, and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before you knew what was love, and I saw it all. Still, I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose. from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stand at a distance anymore. You're not far from home. You're not far from home. God, would you come and be with us today? And would you put that reminder deep in our hearts that you see us and you love us, that we're not far from home, that your arms are always open, welcoming and ready. And God, as we move on and continue to listen to your spirit and continue to listen to what you're showing us and where you're leading us, would we come from that foundation of knowing that we are loved, knowing that we have full access to your goodness? Would we stand in the knowledge of your comfort and your compassion? This call that God extends to us, come to me, all who are weary and burdened and troubled, and I will give you rest. It's a call that he intends for us to extend to others. You see, not every baby hears their first whisper of heaven within their first moments on earth. And not every child is shown the hope of heaven when they scrape their knee or lose their toy. And not every teenager is given the comfort of heaven when their hearts get broken or their dreams are shattered. Every day, right here in our community, there are children and teens who are removed from their warm and familiar environments due to abuse or neglect and placed into a really strange situation that we call foster care. Because of a severe shortage of foster homes, many of these children are sent far away to other counties or placed in temporary homes where they move from place to place to place, where everything is constantly new and intimidating, odd and overwhelming. And just like a screaming newborn, they are crying out for someone to have compassion on them. They are desperate for comfort, desperate for a glimpse of heaven. Seven years ago, my husband and I felt God calling us to begin the process to become foster parents. And in that time, we've welcomed more than a dozen children into our family. And I can tell you that it has been our greatest honor and privilege to love every single one of them. But that doesn't mean it's been easy. You see, we haven't been comforted so that we can feel comfortable. We have been comforted so we'll be equipped to pursue the mission that God has given us, to love our neighbors. Right now, nearly 1,100 of our neighbors in Santa Clara County are in the foster care system. Throughout the course of this year, nearly 600 more will enter the foster care system. Make no mistake, that reckless love that we spoke about, God has that for these children. There's no shadow he won't light up. There's no mountain he won't climb up. There's no wall he won't tear down or lie he, wall he won't kick down or lie he won't tear down on behalf of these children. You see, Psalm 68:5 says, "A father to the fatherless and defender of widows is God in his dwelling place." He will protect and provide for these vulnerable neighbors of ours. And he has a plan for how to provide for them. The very next verse tells us, God sets the lonely in families. His plan is that they should not and will not go through these really traumatic and difficult times in their lives alone. And God has a plan for us too. If you just go a few chapters further in Psalm 82 says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. At Foster the Bay, we agree with God. We believe that every single child is absolutely precious. We believe that every single child belongs in a safe home with a loving family. And we believe that the church is uniquely equipped to meet this need. Maybe this is the first time you've heard of foster care. Maybe you've never considered getting involved in foster care. That's okay. Neither had my friend Britton. I'd like you to hear a little bit of her story in her own words. Guys, can we play Britton's story?
My name is Britton, and there was a point where I didn't think I'd be a parent. My husband and I have been married for 15 years, and we've watched all our friends have 3, 4 kids, and we've waited on the Lord, just wondering what his plan was. We considered adoption, and we considered infertility treatment, and then we heard about this thing called foster care. We weren't in a position after our first informational meeting to become foster parents yet, so we said yes to the things that we could say yes to. We said yes to training and information and classes. We said yes to paperwork, and I also went and served at a camp for kids in care. I remember telling the Lord that I didn't know how to be a parent or really even like a mentor to kids who've been through all the things they've been through. And I remember the Lord telling me, Britton, you don't need to be a mom. You don't need to be a parent. I made you a Britton. What I found after 15 years of infertility is that the Lord has been molding and shaping our family to be something different. After camp, we were really motivated to become foster parents and finish the certification process, and the Lord provided us a home to be able to do that in. We had our first placement as a sibling set. These two kids were funny and smart, and we loved them tremendously, but it became very apparent within a short period of time that our house wasn't the right fit for them, and that they had needs beyond, well beyond what we could meet even as a very supported family. Our placement came to a really quick stop, and we were devastated. I ran away and visited my parents for 10 days, and I didn't know how we would ever say yes to another placement. We felt like failures. After a long time of thinking about and praying about what failure is, the Lord told me that true failure is not being willing to try. True failure is taking the gift of grace that God has given you and burying it in the ground. 6 weeks after our failed placement, we received a phone call about a 14-year-old boy. And I was like, how is this gonna work? And we spent 5 minutes with him, and we were like, we wanna be your people. We've just had the best time getting to be a part of his life. It looks like we'll get to be a part of his life the rest of his life. And our hope is that he sees that God sees him and God loves him. I really believe that the scary things in life are probably the only things worth doing. There are kids out there that are worth changing your whole life for.
Eden, there are kids out there worth changing your whole life for. Maybe you're like Britton. Maybe you're at a point where you don't think you'll ever be a parent. Or maybe you're already a parent and you don't think you can parent any more children. Or maybe you're single and you don't think you have what it takes to be a parent. Can I encourage you to reconsider? Your quiet, peaceful home may be the perfect healing environment for a teenager in foster care. Your gentleness and wisdom may be exactly what she needs as she begins to heal from her experiences. Or your colorful, bustling home may be exactly what a sibling set needs. Your parenting style and your family's culture may be exactly the thing they need to feel comfortable while they heal. And I'm so sorry, I'm going to go off script for just a second. And I don't know why I feel this way, but single people, do not count yourselves out. There are teens and young men and women who need mentors. Maybe they don't need a mom or a dad. Maybe they have a mom or a dad that are pretty involved, but just not resourced and capable. You can be the person that steps beside them and shares what you're learning with them and helps them navigate this crazy time. But not everyone is called to be a foster parent. Please don't feel like I'm cajoling you into that position. You may know that you are not called to be a foster parent, and that's totally okay. It takes a village to raise a child. And at Foster the Bay, we call that village support friends. It takes a team of support friends to sustain a foster family. Your famous enchiladas may be the gift that gets a frazzled family through a tough day. Or your willingness to come and cut the grass or clean out the gutters may be the gift that lifts a burden off of a foster parent's shoulders. Your prayers will absolutely obliterate Satan's plan to steal these children's joy, to kill their dreams, and to destroy their futures. You can change that. Everyone can do something. You don't have to become a foster parent. You don't have to become a foster parent tomorrow. In fact, you can't. It's quite a long process. Just do what Britton did. Say yes to the things that you can say yes to. Cannot tell you exactly how God is calling you to care for vulnerable children in your community. I can only tell you that He is definitely calling. Your advocates, Brian and James and I, will be out at the Foster the Bay table after the service, and we would love to talk to you about how you can get involved. You see, as recipients of God's compassion and comfort, we are compelled to be compassionate toward others. This is one of the most beautiful privileges and heaviest responsibilities of our faith, to give others a glimpse of heaven. Every time we welcome a stranger, we testify that all are welcome in God's family. Every time we fix something that was broken, or find something that was lost, or satisfy the ache of hunger or thirst, we model the kingdom of heaven. This is how the world will see God's love in living color. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that God invites us to be a part of this? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Church, we are on a mission to love these neighbors as ourselves, and my prayer is that we will pursue that mission with wild abandon. God, call us out. Let us sit in your goodness. Let us be filled with your Spirit so that we can take that hope, that comfort, that compassion out to a waiting, watching, needing world. God, I pray that you would be moving in hearts, leading and guiding everyone who is with us today in this room or outside together under the tent, or joining us online. Lead us, God. Show us what you're calling us to do. Banish fear, banish doubt. Give us courage to boldly follow you. And God, I pray that when we do, lives would be changed. I pray that hurting children would become beloved sons and daughters. That men and women who didn't quite know how to love their neighbors would become fierce advocates, would become shining lights for who you are. God, we love you. We love you. And it's not an obligation or a burden to follow you into these places. It is an absolute privilege and joy. Thank you so much for calling us to go where you go, to love who you love. For your glory.